Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
The beloved Apostle Paul said that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want you to think about that and memorize 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And if what you are hearing from the pastor or pastors who are preaching to you is not aligning with, is not exactly coming from the words of Holy Scripture, of Jesus and His apostles, etc., then you are sitting deliberately and intentionally under another gospel, and the one peddling it is accursed, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, and you are condoning and bidding Godspeed to a false teacher, and you're going to be judged with him. Notice again with me, friends, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, which he had just spoke about in the preceding verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, remember, this letter was not sectioned off into chapters and verses. Now, it is a blessing that somewhere along the line we have where the Bible was divided up into chapters and verses so that we could easily reference and navigate the Bible. What a blessing. But keeping that in mind, we have to understand, for example, 2 Corinthians, which I'm quoting from right now, the apostle, the words, the divinely inspired words of the apostle of Jesus Christ, the apostle Paul. And when he said, let us cleanse ourselves, having these promises that I just gave you, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And let me stop here to say, you cannot overcome sin. And I personally was not overcoming sin as God has called us to until the cross message began to set in. That is a message that's nearly completely lost in the modern church world and has been for many decades. And it's up to you and I, beloved, to make it famous again, because Jesus said that if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself, not esteem and pamper and entertain. No. Not love yourself. That's our innate in all of us. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. What is it, Ephesians 5, 29 or 30? We all automatically love ourselves. That is our problem. It's not our problem that we need to love ourselves more, because we already love ourselves. That's our biggest problem. God calls us to deny ourselves, not to love ourselves. You don't have to try to love yourself. It's already automatic. We have to crucify self, and that's when you're going to be dead and buried, and sin is no longer going to reign in your life, because you're going to be living the resurrected life. Jesus is, on the guarantee of His word, going to raise you up if you simply humble yourself in repentance and begin to do things His way, which is to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And let me just say this, you're going to be dancing with joy on sin's grave, because you're going to finally start seeing a momentum and a contiguous overcoming of sin, to where the sins that used to snare you and entice you and draw you into them, where you seemingly had no power over them, are going to be under your foot. Jesus came to put Satan and sin under foot. And Satan has place in you until you submit to God in the cross and obey him. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and it's he that's going to lift you up, right? Same text as that's James 4:10. Notice verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, how do I submit myself to God? Obey Jesus. What did he say? If you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross. In other words, live the crucified life and follow me. Because when you're taking up your cross, you're crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Have you memorized it yet? Do you declare it every morning? When you're following Jesus, you're doing it the way he said, not your way. You notice there's two different kind of professing Christian. There's a professing Christian who says, basically, I'm kind of dabble in and grab a little bit here and there from God's word, maybe some of his promises, and entertain the thought of one day truly repenting and beginning to be crucified with Christ. And that's the Cain counterfeit right there. It all goes back to Genesis 4. You got two men there, prophetic at their time of what was to come in history, of people that claim and have a formula or formality, an outward show of godliness, but they don't do things God's way. And the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. You got the pairs all the way through scripture. You got the counterfeit and you got the authentic. Cain's brother Abel was authentic. He said, yes, sir, si, senor. Yes, sir, Jesus, you're my master. I will not be your enemy. I love you and I will submit to you on your terms, not mine. You see, so many Cainites, Cain counterfeits, who swear they're serving God. They said a prayer somewhere in the past, and many of them actually got saved, but they didn't continue with the Lord. They didn't continue in what water baptism merely illustrates. It's figurative of your own death with Christ and burial, so that now he can raise you up in the newness of life. He can empower you not only to overcome all sin, but to be a powerful force for God in the earth, bearing fruit, more fruit, and much fruit as you abide in vital union with Jesus, John 15. James 4:7, I want you to memorize this verse. Submit, you do it. Only you can do it for yourself. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then what are you going to be able to do? Resist the devil. His temptations and sin is underfoot. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you stand in the word of God, you stand in Christ, crucified with Christ, dead and buried. God is going to lift you up and there's going to be power over Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, not only in the world, but in your life. And that's going to happen when you say, Lord, you know what? I'm done doing it my way. I repent of my rebellion and my wickedness. I have sinned against you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me, to wash me clean and refresh me, Lord. And from this moment forward, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Oh boy, God is going to reign big in you as this happens. Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you have the faith of the Son of God happening in you? You know when that's going to happen? We learn it right there in that scripture, Galatians 2:20, is that when he's raising you up, you got his faith in you. You don't have to try to conjure up faith. It's automatically in you because his resurrection grace is working in you. Again, memorize Galatians 2:20. How about Romans 6:14? Sin shall not have dominion over you. That is, you that are dead to self, you're dying to self, you're crucified with Christ, because you're not under the law, man. You're under grace. You got the divine influence of God in your heart, and you got the overcoming, empowering grace of God working in your life. You're not only overcoming sin, you're hitting momentum, man. You're shifting into high gear and fruitfulness. Some people listening to me, you're just still trying to overcome sin, and that's not going to happen until, as I found out personally, as I began to say earlier, the cross begins to take center stage in your life. You can't separate Christ and the cross. He died on the cross to wash away all your sin, and then he commanded you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me to keep you free, keywords, keep you free for the rest of your life, enduring to the end from the sin he died to take away. You're not going to heaven living in sin. It doesn't matter what some fraud told you, peddling his little once saved, always saved heresy, which started in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. It's irrefutable. Even the OSAS, the once saved, always saved, eternal securists, can't argue with that. They don't want to deal with it because the only reason why they want to believe once saved, always saved is because they refuse to truly repent, deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus in this life for real. That's the two type of professing believers we have. There's the Cain counterfeits, and there's the Abel genuine believers who say, Lord, I'm doing it your way. I'm going to confess my sin like David said. I will openly declare my sin before you, O God. Psalm 138, verse 8. I'm not going to cover sin. I'm going to confess it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Another memory verse. I want you to memorize that. Write it on an index card. Say it out loud every day with the reference for the rest of this week. Say it out loud three times. Maybe five. Maybe seven. Out loud and watch how it begins to get inside of you. Let thine heart retain, memorize, to meditate on my word. Proverbs 4:4. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth, tries to hide his sins, shall not prosper. You're done. Stiff arm. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. How do you confess and forsake? You just declare it like David. You do not hide anything. God sees it all anyway, guys. Who do we think we're fooling? We're self-deceived here. Confess your sins. He that confesses and forsakes. How am I going to forsake the sin? You're going to get in the cross life. You're going to be crucified with Christ for real. And you're going to get away from every fraud that pretends to represent Christ and isn't preaching to you every day the crucified life every time he preaches. Listen, the other things in the Bible don't work until we have the cross center stage in our lives. It's at the center of the original gospel. And if any man is not preaching it, he's not preaching the original gospel. He's accursed of God. Galatians 1:6-9. Oh, but my pastor's degreed. He speaks so eloquently and makes us laugh, and he does preach some scripture. Yeah, he's preaching another gospel. He's a silver tongue devil, just like the serpent in the garden that enticed Adam and Eve and told them, you shall not surely die if you sin against God. But God had just said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. You're going to be separated from me. What happened? What happened? Chapter 3, Genesis. Do you have a foundation in the Bible, in kingdom theology and the doctrine of God? Well, you need to pour over the first three chapters, maybe four of Genesis, maybe 5 or 10 times, reading it through. And then you'll begin to have a foundation. But what happened with Adam and Eve? They were kicked out of the garden. They were vanquished from the presence of God when they sinned against God. And you think you're going to heaven with sin in your life that you have not confessed? And all you had to do was confess it and cry out to Jesus to give you the grace to overcome and to anoint you to be dead and buried with Christ and raised up into his holiness. That's all you had to do. I often say that if I have any sin in my life right now, why is that? Well, pride. Refuse to humble myself and confess it, right? Isn't that always the case? Yeah. So you have to submit yourself to God. And the only way to do that is to obey him in the cross. Submit yourself to the crucified life. And then you're going to be able to resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. Now, we're talking about in this message, there are some who pretend to be representing Christ while subverting the gospel by not preaching the essential cross of the original gospel. Let me ask you something. Is your pastor teaching you to overcome all sin? I tell you what, I don't know when the last time I heard any pastor that is preaching to overcome all sin. We always have to give excuse for sin. I didn't say that believers don't stumble at times. I didn't say that. But what do you do in that? And what do you do to really walk with God in uninterrupted holiness that he alone can bring? Do you try harder? No, you die deeper. That means, what is the cross? Surrender. Admit, get honest. Jesus said it's only the honest and good in heart that are going to be with him. The only one of the four types of heart soil that the word of God falls on, Luke 8:11-15, is in verse 15 where he says only those in an honest and good heart receive the word and obey it. and bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. In verse 13, Luke 8, Jesus said, if you hear the word, you can hear the word and you can believe it for a while, that means you're saved, then you can fall away. How did you fall away from something you didn't already have? This is delusional, just astounding that this has to be preached, but it does, because there's so many deceivers that are turning the saving grace of God into a lasciviousness, into a license for sin. Adam and Eve, somebody said, well, how many sins do I have to commit to be separated from God? I ask you one question in return of your question. How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to be vanquished from the presence of God? Just one. Yeah. Why? Because God is holy, holy, holy. But we make salvation all about us, as if we're enthroned. It's all about us. God has to dance around us. You're serving the devil. You're serving a false god. You're serving the same devil that animated that serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the man and woman took the bait when he said, you shall not surely die. In other words, you can do what you want. God's a loving God. He's a God of grace. We've got a message on grace versus holiness. Check it out. It will rock your world. It'll flip your wig. Just put in grace space V and it'll come up on safeguardyoursoul.com. And let me pause here for a moment to say safeguardyoursoul.com is a platform primarily to help the body of Christ grow in the grace of God. Recently, I was speaking with the website host company about the stats of the site. We've got 8,000 to 10,000 people coming on the site each and every day. That's unique visitors. And he said there's an average of 22 pages accessed by each visitor. Wow, that was astounding. I want to encourage you to use Safeguard Your Soul as a place to help you get into the Word. We're following the Nehemiah 8:8 principle. No, you don't need this ministry. You don't need any ministry. You need the King James Bible if you're an English-speaking person. If you're Spanish-speaking, the Reina Valera is the King James equivalent in your language. And so we follow the Nehemiah 8:8 principle, which we speak in detail about in the book called Predators in Our Pulpits. It's available on the store page at safeguardyoursoul.com. We have 20 volumes. All of them follow the Nehemiah 8:8 biblical principle, where the elders stood up and they read the word of God itself distinctly. And then they gave the sense thereof. So it's all about the word of God. It's not about our commentary of it. Hopefully, we're just trying to help you to be quick and to look at the Bible itself, to get in the word itself, that it might get into you. The best compliment the ministry has ever received in like four decades of operation. This is the one I remember the most. This guy emailed, he said, you know what? I was reading Predators in Our Pulpits, the book, your book, and I took your advice. And I put Predators in the Pulpit aside, and I got in the Word. Man, I still have not stopped rejoicing over that. That's what it's all about, guys. If we're not getting people in the Word itself, then what are we doing? Are we getting them to follow us and to like our personality? Paul said, look, man, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't come to razzle and dazzle with you. Man, I came in weakness, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I came in weakness, trembling. Why? So that your faith wouldn't stand in me or in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Are you in the Word of God, my friend? If you're not, you're already backslidden. And let me encourage you in this. You're not going to be whole. W-H-O-L-E, spirit, soul, and body, till you get in the Word of God every morning when you awake and thereafter with reckless abandon. Get lost in it, man. Trace it down, memorize it, highlight it, cross-reference it. Get in the Word and it's going to get into you and there's going to be the action of circumcision, cutting away the filth of the flesh in you. Remember our theme verse today, 2 Corinthians 7:1. We are to do what? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, which we're getting ready to go over. What promises? Well, all of the promises of God, but specifically the ones he just mentioned, which include and denote condition. There are conditions for getting saved and staying saved. You got saved? Good. Stay saved. a holy Savior saved you. And he gave you the ability, as you follow him in the cross life, to do what? To be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. I bet your favorite pastor or so-called grace teacher, anytime they got to say they're grace teacher, they're a false prophet. That's a Calvinist, eternal security heretic, false teacher, snake in the garden. Jesus said to be ye holy for I am holy, Old Testament and New. And so he expects you to be. He requires you to be. He's going to empower you to be that, to do whatever he told you to do. Even all the hard sayings of Jesus, which we're not even touching on yet in this message. So we need to say, man, I just can't do it. Hey, that's a good spot for you right there. Because it's time to throw your hands up and say, Lord, I can't do it. You got to do it. But I love you, Lord, so I'm going to surrender afresh right now. I'm call on your name, Lord, that you increase beginning this moment forward in my life until I'm with you. I cry out with John the Baptist, you must increase, but I must decrease. I cry out with the psalmist, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Hallelujah. My soul follows hard after thee, Psalm 63:8. If you don't have a heart after God, all you got is dead religion and you do not yet love the Lord. You're not choosing to love him, but you can begin today. That's the good news. Another memory verse to declare every day is 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Hallelujah. So we're talking about whether or not your pastor or the preachers you listen to are justifying sin or telling you that Jesus commands you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and overcome all sin. Well, brother, don't we all stumble sometimes? Listen, that's why we got 1 John 1:9. But the action of the cross, the deliberate, intentional denying of yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus every day is going to cause you to be resurrected out of the temptations and sins, to be victorious over them. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to give you anything less than complete victory. That's what the word says. Whatever happened to the victory? Well, I can tell you what happened to it. Whatever happened to the cross? It's gone. Therefore, there can be no victory. We're seeing more people in spiritual leadership, quote unquote, that are falling than ever because judgment has begun at the house of God. That's where it has to begin first. 1 Peter 4:17-18. But why are we seeing? Where's the cross? I'm not surprised somebody falls. Oh, but you wouldn't believe what they did. Well, yeah, some of that stuff is disgusting. But why did they fall in any sin, whatever it was, whether man saw it or not, God saw it? Because there's no cross. By the word of God, and I can tell you by my own experience, and many of you can agree, that it wasn't until the cross began to take root in my personal life that I began to be really rooted in Christ, and that began to bring forth the fruit of holiness. I'm not holy, he is, and he can make us holy. As we submit ourselves to God in the crucified life, we can then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Notice Romans 6, this is a cross chapter, absolutely amazing, foundational to your daily life and overcoming. Listen, we could teach about the great mysteries of the Bible, but our goal is to help you walk victorious daily. Excuse my Southern English. I speak my Southern English as natural as I please, as the song said by the band Alabama way back. So forgive that, but you ain't gonna overcome and begin to have traction and victory until you get this cross. And I can just about get excited enough to start shouting glory to God, Jesus is Lord, when I start thinking about the victory that's coming in somebody's life that's listening to me, because you're fed up. You're fed up with the devil who has access and control and influence on your life because you have sin. That's what gives him the foothold into your life. When you get the sin out, Satan's going to leave. He has no more legal right. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God in the cross life, that is. Then you're going to be able to resist the devil and he has to flee from you. James 4:7. But we read here in this cross chapter toward the end of it, Romans 6 is a cross chapter, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. You were in the past, not no more. Why? Because verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. What? Yeah. Wait a minute. First of all, we can be free from sin? Oh, yeah. In fact, Jesus died to do just that, not only to wash you initially, but to give you the daily victory all the way to the end. Now, who is going to be free from sin again? Memorize verse 7. Romans 6, 7. He that is dead, that means dead and buried, crucified with Christ. He that is dead is freed from sin. How do I get free from sin? Just die. Door nailed dead. Laying on your face before God, crying out to Him in the words of David, the man after God's own heart, Psalm 51. But God be thanked, verse 17. Why is Paul thanking God? That ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. From the what? Heart, not the mind. What have you obeyed from the heart? That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Man, I tell you what, I could get too excited right now. What form of doctrine? He just taught the cross. He's expounding on what Jesus gave us all in seed form about denying yourself the crucified life. And Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is teaching all the way up to this verse in chapter 6 of Romans, the doctrine of the cross. It's been delivered to you, and now you can have the victory over all sin and Satan because what? You obey this doctrine from your heart. You finally come to the place like Cain and say, Lord, I'm going to give you the sacrifice you want. I'm going to do what you want me to do because I delight in you. I just want to serve you. I want to be like Mary that's sitting at your feet, just wanting to hear your word and to feel your breath because I love you, Lord. And that's when you're going to have the victory, when you from your heart say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. From this moment forward, Jesus, I want to be endeared unto you. Help me to love you more. Then he says in verse 18, Romans 6, being then made free from what? You listening? Romans 6, 18. Go read this for yourself if you don't have the King James Bible open right now. Being then made free from sin. When? When you from your heart obey the cross, obey Christ. You can't separate them. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Oh man, what a blessing. Now you walk in holy. Not your holiness, his, but you're one with him as Jesus prayed in John 17. You're knowing him because you're choosing to love him. He's not just somebody you're trying to use to get yourself out of hell. You just want to sit at his feet like Mary and get to know him. Look up at his feet on safeguardyoursoul.com and learn all about the beloved Mary compared to Martha. See, there's another Cain and Abel comparison. We also have Saul and David. The same dichotomy? Maybe that word fits there. You also have Peter and Judas. Wow. You have your pairs throughout Scripture. They're contrasted. You've got Jacob and Esau. Who are you going to be? You're going to be the Cain or the Abel? You're going to be the Peter or the Judas? You're going to be the Mary or the Martha? You're going to be the David or the Saul, beloved? I want to be like David. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. Get in the Psalms and capture, grab some of those truths, some of which I quoted earlier, and memorize them and make them the constitution of your heart and life as you begin from your heart to obey this doctrine of the cross, because it's Christ's doctrine, and he knows you can't overcome sin without the crucified life, and he does not want you separated from him because he loves you. Do you love him? Verse 22, before we bounce back to our main text in 2 Corinthians and finalize this message, notice verse 22, Romans 6, but now being made free from sin. Wait a minute. Did he just say I could be free from sin again? He just said that in verse 18. You know what? I think I might need to just grab this. But now being made free from sin. When is the last time we're preached to or you got into the word yourself and said, hey, wait a minute. Jesus died to make me free from sin, not to have it master over me, but to put it underfoot through the crucified life. That's what Paul said. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. I keep under what? Under your foot. I keep under my body. In other words, the old man, the crucified life he's talking about here. I keep under my body. In other words, iniquity is my flesh, Romans 7, want to do that rage within me, Galatians 5, 17 and 18. There's a war between the flesh and the spirit going on, and the cross is the deciding factor. When you're crucified with Christ, you're not going to be under the dominion of sin. You're going to be reigning over it. But Paul said he was going to be cast away in the end if he didn't keep under his body. It's an ongoing responsibility, a personal responsibility. Are you accountable to God? I tell you what, so many professing Christians are not accountable to God. They want to hide behind some sin-justifying heresy, such as eternal security. These are ungodly men that aren't preaching the cross, and they're turning the grace of our God into a license for sin. When you got real grace, you're denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and you're living soberly and righteously in this present world, Titus 2, verse 11 through 14, as you look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 again, Romans 6, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God. You got to be free from sin to be a servant of God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. I'm sorry, wait, what? What's the fruit of living in the cross life? It's holiness. There it is right there. And what happens to those who live holy? Because they're doing things God's way. They're not separated from God in their sin while claiming to be saved because they were initially washed. What's happening with them? They have the fruit of holiness and it's unto everlasting life. You're not going to heaven living any other way but holy. It's only the cross that Jesus commanded and mandated to be front and center in your life that's going to cause you to be holy. That's when you're following him. He went to the cross to make you holy. That's what the scriptures teach. And the end is everlasting life, not eternal damnation. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man. Doesn't matter what you confess. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. Adam and Eve were in perfect fellowship with God until they sinned. God is holy, holy, holy. He's not going to dwell with you if you're not living holy as he commands you to. Psalm 5 verse 4, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. God makes it clear, as he is holy, 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 that he will not coexist with anyone that's not being holy as he's holy. Doesn't matter what you think, God's word is final authority, and it shall be just as he said. For the wages of sin is death, he says after that, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're in Christ, you're doing what Christ commanded you to do. Now, finishing up in our main passage here, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, again says, having therefore these promises, which we're getting ready to look at as we close here. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some, but all filthiness of what? Not only the flesh, but of the spirit. It's got to start in the spirit. It will manifest in the flesh if it's in your spirit, as we just read in Romans 6. As you obey from your heart this doctrine of the cross, all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfect holiness. What? Man, we can't even get people preaching biblical holiness, not religious holiness. Biblical holiness, Matthew 23, always starts on the inside with repentance and love and true worship for God, and then it will show up on the outside. Fake holiness, as opposed to quote-unquote true holiness, Ephesians 4:24, cleans the outside of the cup. Look at me, I'm holy. No. True holiness will never draw attention to itself. It's humble. It's broken. It's contrite. It's sincere from the heart. Amen. It's poor in spirit. And it starts on the inside and manifests on the outside. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Not only are we called to holiness, we're called to perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we fear God, we are going to perfect holiness. If you're not seeking God today to be holy as he is holy, as he commanded, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, you're not walking with Jesus, my friend. It's time to repent. So what is it that Paul was referring to when he wrote the words of 7:1 of 2 Corinthians about these promises? Let's read what he said. Verse 14, chapter 6. That's what he's talking about. And he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Are you fellowshipping with other believers? Now, we are here to reach unbelievers, but not to be around them so much so that their sin, the leaven of their sin, begins to affect us and leaven the whole loaf. Notice what he said in verse 3 and 4, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, etc. Then he says in verse 14, that's verse 3 and 4, be not in unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Sometimes we need to look at it like hit and run, man. Go in there in the power of the Spirit, but get out those not repenting yet. You planted the seed. Be careful not to displace your loyalty from Christ to them and put being their friend and pleasing them above pleasing God. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is another name for Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, that is, in the way you live, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's conditions. All of these are conditions. Then he says, and I will receive you. That is, if you're meeting these conditions, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's when he then says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some but all, filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray, saints. Let's pray for these things that we've just read in Holy Scripture. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, you're holy, holy, holy. I acknowledge that now, and I acknowledge that I've sinned against you. I have not sought your face as you are so worthy of, for you made me, you came and died for me, and then you found me and made me your own. Please, Father, forgive my vile, evil, rebellious, disobedient, wicked heart, and how I have made myself an idol and committed the sin of spiritual adultery and idolatry against you. I come now to you, Lord Jesus, asking you to forgive me of my sins, to break me, to please unite my heart to fear thy name. Please grant that this heart would be a heart of flesh, removing all stony places and multiplying your enabling, influencing grace to grant this your mere servant your power to overcome all sin, to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Rid my life of all that defiles me in your holy eyes. Do that deeper work in me, dear Lord. Cause my heart to never depart from you ever again, and help me to love you more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.